Coming up next, another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.
With us once again, I believe it is her fifth or sixth time with us. She's been here so many times. We're going to call it the Kathy Hochul Show. But she's appearing the first time as governor of New York State, the 57th governor of New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul. Welcome back to Reaching Out.
Greg, thank you for having me on this show again. It's an important forum to be able to communicate directly with your listeners and tell them what we're doing in state government. And it's been quite an extraordinary year, and I look forward to sharing some thoughts on it.
Thank you very much. And I'm so excited to have you on because I've never had a governor on the show. Never. So I want to say it's a pleasure to have a sitting governor on Reaching Out. You are by far our most high-profile guest we've ever had. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
Okay. From your time in local government to your time now in office as governor, you've always been a strong ally of labor. Talk to us about the growing up in a union household and the role it plays in how you govern.
Well, Greg, it has been a profound influence on my life. The knowledge that it was the union card that lifted my immigrant grandparents from extreme poverty. They came here with nothing on their backs, like so many people, their parents or their grandparents or themselves come here. My grandfather was a migrant farm worker in Wheatfield, South Dakota. My grandparents were domestics when they were just, in their early 20s in Chicago. Then they heard there were these great union jobs in Lackawanna, New York, outside of Buffalo, making steel. So grandpa went there with his young family, became a steel worker, and worked hard every day. I remember him packing up his lunch pail and dropping him off for the 3 o'clock shift when I'd go over there with my aunts and I wanted to have the one family car. My dad worked at the steel plant. My uncles worked at the steel plant. So it was really that union card that lifted my own family out of poverty. And ever since then, I worked so hard to try to have more people have that same experience, not just the American dream, but the New York dream, where we celebrate diversity and lift people up no matter how they came here. And so I would say I will continue to fight hard for labor. I did it as a local town board member. We had a very progressive town board and surrounded by a sea of red politics. So I made sure that we had, for example, apprenticeship programs for all of our local work. So it made sure we got into union hands, and that made a big difference for us. But even continuing up to as a member of Congress, fighting for strong labor protections, and as lieutenant governor, going to so many areas where there were strike lines that I participated in and made sure that people knew that I was on their side. And now as governor, to be able to sign significant legislation to help the labor community, make sure that we get rid of wage theft. Somebody who work a hard day, and my God, they should not be denied that paycheck, every penny of it that they earned. And we have unscrupulous employers. So I just announced signing legislation on that as well. So we have so many more initiatives and ideas to get people back to work, help our economy, and the more people in this most unionized state in America who have that union card, the better off we're going to be.
Now, that's interesting that you mentioned a steel plant in New York. Growing up, I don't remember ever hearing about the steel plant in New York State. I remember hearing about steel plants in Pennsylvania because, of course, they have the Pittsburgh Steelers. But for those of us who don't know about steel plants in New York, that's a very good piece of history to learn that New York once had steel plants.
This is part of our fabric. It's part of our economy and part of opportunities for so many millions of New Yorkers to manufacture. We always were known for making things. In Buffalo, it was 20,000 people working at the steel plant. Down the road was the Ford assembly plant in my town. Everybody either worked at the steel plant, the Ford plant, the GM plant. So that's what we're hardwired to do all across the state, but it really was an important part of the upstate New York economy, as well as making sure we have those good union jobs throughout. So it's in my blood. And people say, how do you handle the rough and tumble business of politics? I said, I have steel running through my veins. And so I can handle this and I embrace it. It's been fantastic.
Now those who may not remember, they're too young to remember, Once upon a time, we used to develop pictures with film, and Kodak was located in Rochester. And after the digital cameras, and of course, what puts the cameras out of business are phones. All the phones have cameras. We would never thought we'd see the day where pictures are being sent digitally and nothing's being printed anymore. So that was a whole industry that went out of business.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's the sad time when I was growing up in New York, when so many of the businesses left town. We had GE in Syracuse. They closed up shop. We had Kodak, Eastman Kodak, 60,000 jobs that almost evaporated overnight when foreign competition and all these other reasons people left the state. So I grew up at a time when people would say, you know, you get your high school education and buy your ticket out of town. And so I'm really, really proud to be governor now to bring back the manufacturing base, the good jobs that are going to now be helping us launch into the green energy future. We're doing a lot of work in this space. And I thank President Joe Biden and Leader Schumer for making sure that they passed legislation. So we not just have money for infrastructure to build, which we're going to be building so much in New York, but also make sure that our manufacturing starts coming back home again. And I want to make sure that those are good union manufacturing jobs once again, because then you know they have the highest quality. And I'm working really hard to make sure that we have that pipeline. We have too many young people, and I visited programs in the Bronx and Brooklyn and, you know, especially East New York. A lot of communities still need help. And if we can get young people to get into a workforce training center, an apprenticeship program, learn the skills, learn to be a driver, learn to be someone who can build with their hands, then their whole lives are changed forever. Not just theirs, but their children and their children's children, just like happened in my family. It could have been a lifetime of poverty, but those good jobs make a difference. I want to see a more diverse workforce. I want more children from communities of color and teenagers from those communities to know they have a shot at these jobs. I want to see more women in those jobs. Those are good paying, hardworking, but dignified jobs. And that's something that's a high priority of mine as governor.
You're listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237 Teamsters. With us, our very special guest, New York State Governor Kathy Hochul. And you mentioned women. And I know on my list of questions, I want to ask you about the Supreme Court ruling on abortions and what New York State has done to, I would say, to continue to service the care of women, reproductive rights, and their care.
You know, that decision when the Supreme Court overturned a law or ruling that had been in place since 1973, stripping away a right that I know my mother had to fight for, a right that I was able to have and never took for granted, but it was always there for me, to know that my 30-something-year-old daughter and my now new granddaughter will not have the same rights in this country that I had growing up, that is actually shocking. We've always been on a path toward expanding rights for people, and now we're contracting them. So I knew that we had to stand up as New Yorkers, as that beacon, that safe harbor. Part of our DNA is the state that has the Statue of Liberty right outside our windows here. And to say, you come to our state, we'll take care of you. So I put money on the line. I didn't just talk the talk. I said, we need $35 million to help our current healthcare providers, our abortion providers, make sure that one, they have security for their facilities, because you know there have been instances of threats and firebombings and threatening situations. So we want to make sure that their security is strong. But also we need more expanded services, more locations, more providers, more people in healthcare to offer these services, not just to New York women, but to other women from other states as well. We also strengthen our laws to protect the providers. If someone comes from Texas and secures an abortion in New York, making sure that that provider is not now going to be subject to a lawsuit or dragged back or extradited to another state and be prosecuted, because that's exactly what is on the books right now in those states. So it's a battle. It's one that I wish I didn't have to fight. We have so many other things to focus on, but I'm going to be out there as a voice for women and say, New York State will lead on this. And it is very hurtful to me as a woman to know that it's not likely to change anytime soon with the Supreme Court we have, the three members that Donald Trump put on the Supreme Court who made this happen. They're not going anywhere anytime soon, and that's the challenge we're going to face. So it all comes down to what governors are going to do. That's why I'm working to elect more Democratic governors. I'm involved in the Democratic Governors Association. So I have to make sure, even in New York, that we don't end up with a governor who's now running against me, or someone who's running against me to be governor, who says that he supports the overturning of Roe v. Wade. So that extremism is knocking at our door right here in New York, not just happening in faraway states. It's happening in our own state. And voters need to be aware of that.
Well, I'm sure you're going to do a good job of making the voters aware of your opponent's stance on abortions, as well as you mentioned Texas. And I looked, it wasn't on my list of questions, but just recently, I guess maybe 3 or 4 busloads of immigrants have been shipped to New York from Texas. I mean, they will ship immigrants here from Texas, but they won't allow women to come here and get a treatment. What's the irony of that? How about the governor sending women who want treatment to New York? I mean, we gladly treat them, right?
I know. That is so right, Greg. And, we welcome the individuals who've been dehumanized, shipped like their cattle, transporting them across state lines. I mean, it seems like some form of human trafficking, if you ask me. I mean, they're not going because they want to come to New York. They went to Texas. They probably have family members waiting for them in Texas. But we're New Yorkers. We embrace everybody. And I just spoke to Mayor Adams about this last night. What else we can be doing at the state level to help make sure they have secure places to live, that they're going to be okay. And we'll gladly welcome them. And I truly wish that we could allow them to, have a legal status card, at least temporarily, while their cases are being heard, so they can be part of the family of workers as well. There's a lot of work to be done in our state. And so that's the challenge. But you're absolutely right about, what the governor is thinking, just treating people so inhumanly and inhumanely, whether they're coming across the border or whether they're women. The residents of Texas, women now have stripped of the basic right to determine what happens to their own bodies. It's appalling. It really is.
Yeah. If I'm just thinking, what's the liability? What happens if something happens to that bus, they don't get here safely? What happens if somebody is sick and he transports them across the line and they get here? Who's responsible for that? The person who's put him on the bus.
That's right.
There's a lot of liability there. I mean, he's not thinking. He's putting the people, the citizens of Texas at risk for paying out lawsuits needlessly.
So there's a lot of exposure.
A lot of exposure there. And speaking of Texas, let's go back again to Texas. Just had that horrific shooting at the school. And that governor there expanded gun rights. I mean, you want more individuals to be able to buy assault weapons and use these weapons to go into schools? Let's talk about New York State gun laws as opposed to what the Supreme Court just came down with and ruling, and how you're going to try to offset that or mitigate that to make sure that what happened in Buffalo doesn't occur again.
You touch on something that is still heartbreaking to process, that in my hometown of Buffalo, literally 10-minute drive from where I live, I know that Topps grocery store, I know that neighborhood, I've worshiped in the churches there, and to see that there was a 18-year-old who could walk into a store at age 18 and be able to legally purchase an AR-15 and then go over to Pennsylvania, went like a 20-minute drive from where he lived, picked up a high-capacity magazine that allows for 60 bullets to be shot from, attached it to that, drive 3 hours to Buffalo. You know why he went to Buffalo? He put this in his social media account. He talked about he was trying to find the highest population of Black New Yorkers within a shortest drive of his house. You know what? Buffalo was 3 hours. Middle of Brooklyn was 3.5 hours. So, he just decided which way to go on a map. He could have been in New York City just as easily, because this person had hate in his heart and he had access to guns. It's one thing if you're going to sit in your basement and have a depraved heart and for whatever reason you're radicalized. But when you act on it and purchase guns and act out in the street, you've now crossed the line. You've now stolen the lives of innocent New Yorkers. And you've got a governor who's really angry about that. And so we went back right away. I said to the legislature, I want gun safety laws. I want to be able to ban AR-15s from teenagers, make sure that there's stronger background checks, make sure that we have stronger red flag laws. So when a kid like that starts saying crazy things in school, like I'm going to shoot up a school, that somebody notices and law enforcement's involved and they get his guns out of his possession. So we changed all the laws to strengthen it. But you also mentioned the Supreme Court. At the end of the month, after this, our legislature had already adjourned until next January, Supreme Court not only did the abortion decision, they also repealed and overturned a law that we've had in New York State for 108 years, saying that the government has the ability to decide who should have a concealed carry weapon. They struck that down. So there can be no difference between someone who has a regular pistol permit or someone who is allowed to take it out of their house, walk the streets, go on the subway, go to their church. And when they get, someone shoves them and they get angry, they pull out a gun. And this is something that not only the Supreme Court was okay with, my opponent was okay with this. Lee Zeldin said, it's okay, don't worry about it. Everybody should be able to carry guns. What planet is he living on where he thinks it's safe to walk with guns in Times Square? So I've got to fight back and protect New Yorkers. That's what I'm doing as governor. I called back the legislature. We toughened our laws. In just a matter of weeks now, I'm working on this every day. We're coming out with our language that's saying there will be sensitive areas, places in New York City and New York State where you cannot carry a gun no matter what the Supreme Court says because it's a sensitive area. And I'm putting Times Square on that list. I'm putting places of worship. I'm putting the subway. I'm putting the fact that any business establishment, little bodega, little restaurant, the presumption will be that they do not want you to bring in a concealed weapon into their establishment. If they want you to, if they think it's okay for you to do that, they have to put out a sign saying concealed carry guns welcome. So see what I just did there? I made the assumption you cannot bring the guns in unless the property owner wants you to bring them in. So we're trying to turn it upside down and we'll see what happens. But that's why I have to spend so much time on is protecting public safety, fighting crime, make sure you have that sense of security because that's what everybody deserves when they live in our state.
Now, we're going to change subject because we could talk about the Supreme Court. They just did two rulings that we don't like, and they're probably going to do several more that we don't like. And I don't know if we have a right to be buried underground or we have to be buried above ground like in Louisiana. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition. But we just attended a NYCHA Trust signing with a bill that you signed, bill that Greg Russ, who originally was at Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they came up with this board, how they leverage money because they're not getting any federal funding. And we could not get the previous administration in New York City to focus on that. And fortunately for us, you and Mayor Adams really understood what was at stake and what was going to work. And that is off and running. And we hope we expand that to the entire housing authority. And we want you to just talk about your role in signing that NYCHA trust bill.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I was really, really proud to be with so many people, including Greg, who was such a tireless fighter to make sure that we have more money, more sources of revenue to support the people who live in NYCHA housing. Their conditions, whether it was Co-op City where we made the announcement, there are buildings where people are desperate for heat in the wintertime. It's too hot in the summer. The boilers don't work, the elevators don't work, the paint is peeling. And the problem is they haven't had enough money to be able to do the repairs and make people, allow people to have the dignity of a beautiful, safe, secure home. So our trust fund, which is allowed by the federal government, but the governor, the past governor and the mayor never got along. They couldn't work it out. They couldn't roll up their sleeves and do what's best for the people. So we did. Mayor Adams and I worked together, got this through the legislature. I proposed this last January in my very first budget. We said, this is something we can do together for the benefit of the residents of NYCHA. It's long overdue. Let's get it done. And we are really excited about the opportunity to have this steady flow of money through this bond act, basically allowing people to be able to have the repairs done, fix up the gardens, fix the sidewalks, give them the quality of life that every New Yorker deserves.
We really thank you. We needed that legislation. We needed that bill. And most of all, we needed a way to fund NYCHA. Now, we have a few more minutes left. Is there any message that we didn't touch on that you would like to give our audience?
Well, I appreciate that. As you know, I came on this show a lot when I was lieutenant governor, being governor is something I found out exactly 1 year ago today that I would be the governor of New York has been an extremely humbling experience. And I never take for granted the power that's entrusted in me. And as I go forth to the voters in a couple of months, I want them to know that I'll fight like hell for them every single day. Everything comes down now. If we've seen the failure of the Supreme Court and what happens in other places, it all comes down to what governors are doing. And we have to make sure that we do not end up in this state with someone who's radical, they're dangerous, they're extreme. His values, my opponent's values, are exactly the opposite of those that we all share as New Yorkers. And if they put their faith in me for the next 4 years, I will not disappoint them. And so I look forward to making that case to voters, but labor unions are behind me 100% because they know that when they, I know that when they do well, our entire state does well. So I thank them and all of you for your support.
Thank you. And we really appreciate your leadership. We appreciate your dedication. And we thank you for the time that you have given us. And we're going to let you go because we know you're very, very busy. We thank you for spending just a short amount of time with us. You're always welcome to come back anytime you want. Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Greg. Maybe the first governor to be on, but I'm also going to be the second governor to be on. I'll be back again. All right. Take care now.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. You've been listening to Governor Hochul on Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd. We're going to do a brief recap of a podcast we did with Alex Garrett on the NYCHA Trust Fund.
You feel Governor Hochul is the right person to make this happen?
This was on her desk and she's working in real time and work speaks for itself. This bill was passed, whether she was a governor or someone else, the legislature would have passed this bill and it would have been left for the governor to make a decision, whoever that governor would have been at this time, whether they were going to sign it or not. Fortunately, this governor chose to sign it.
For I don't you, know. I know this was a special moment. Tell us being next to her as she signed it.
Oh, more than being next to her, I mean, just being invited. Labor had a seat at the table and being included in the ceremony was special because this was our first time ever being included in a bill signing for a governor of New York State. But more importantly than being part of that bill signing was the bill that was signed that's going to help the people, the residents of NYCHA, and also our members who work in the New York City Housing Authority. That was more important than being next to the governor signing the bill to me.
Gregory Floyd, Teamster 237 president. Where can people find the coverage of Teamster's role in this? Because I know you guys have a website. So what's the best way to get in touch with you guys?
Oh, on our website, 237, local237.org. You go on our website. We'll put up the short video of the bill signing. The governor has the bill signing and NYCHA on her platform, the New York State government platform. It's on, I believe it's on YouTube. The NYCHA bill signing for the trust, the NYCHA trust. So if anyone wants to take the time to look at the, I would say, 45 minute ceremony, it'll be there. And it was really historic. And the comments and the commentary was really great. So if anybody has time and they're really interested, I would suggest going on and looking at it.
Greg Floyd, thanks so much, Teamsters 237. And hey, we'll see you on the radio on AM970 The Answer.
Thank you. And Alex, as always, it's been a pleasure. You've been listening to Reaching Out. I'm Gregory Floyd, President, Local 237. Our very special guest, the 57th Governor of New York State, Governor Kathy Hochul. Thank you once again for coming back on Reaching Out.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in again each and every Saturday at this same time for another edition of Reaching Out with Gregory Floyd, president of Teamsters Local 237.